Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
What up, what up, Peace family? We back in the building. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Assalamu alaikum, Hotep and Habari Ghani. This is Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
Yes, indeed, and we are Collective Minds Radio. We back again, y'all, another week, hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. Chop it up, see what's going on. It's Collective Minds, where we say we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. So this week, y'all, we doing our monthly open discussion. So, of course, as always, give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. You know, what's been going on with you. And, yeah, we're going to chop it up like that. So before we get started, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for us?
Okay. Yes, thanks for asking. I had a great week. Happy to announce that. So I did have a wonderful week. Hope everybody else's week was wonderful as well. And, no big announcements, just want to encourage everybody to, you know, be grateful and thankful. You know, it's a lot of things that we can have, so let's not look at the things that we don't have, but just be grateful for the things that we do have, and then more things will come. So I just want to encourage everybody to just be grateful and thankful.
Ashe. That's a check. And Brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? You got any announcements for us?
Man, my week was good as well. Blacktastic. Productive, and I love when it's a productive week. You know, FOI love to stay busy and be productive, and it was a productive week. So, also, no major announcements. I do want to give a shout out, as always, to March 28 here in St. Louis. We had a fantastic speaker that held it down this morning, Sister Rhonda Muhammad, who was basically speaking on the roles of the woman. And she even touched on the roles of the man as well, but she was more so directing her lecture towards females and their roles in relationships. So that was a good event and a good lecture, and I appreciate my brothers and sisters. So, yeah, outside of that, it was a great week, and all is well, my brother and my sister.
Yes, indeed. We like to hear that. We definitely love to hear that. So, yeah, I don't have any announcements. I did want to touch on something, though, just real quick about the collective. You know, we call this show Collective Minds. And that's a powerful thing, you know, that's a powerful statement, because a lot of times, you know, this society pushes the individual, be an individual, do that, and we are individuals in our own right, you know what I'm saying? Like my brother Mufasa says, we are our individual own universe. However, there is still something called a collective that is powerful. You know, if y'all know, if y'all ever heard of like a collective meditation where you can get 10 people or 50 people, 100 people, or imagine 1,000 people all meditating and concentrating on one thing. That is very powerful. You dig what I'm saying? And I know this society try to keep us away from doing something like that, but I really want to just get people back into, you know, understanding that there is a collective consciousness that goes along with these universes, you know what I'm saying, and with these thoughts. So if we can all be on accord and on one page and think about, you know, something we want to manifest in our lives, if we can get a group of people to be on that same page with us, even one other person makes it powerful. So just imagine if you have more than 2, 3, 10, 100, whatever, that can be a powerful thing. Yeah, unity, exactly. And you can manifest some powerful things by, you know, collectively putting your minds in the right place and thinking about the same thing to bring about whatever desires that you may want. So, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there, thinking about the name that we have, Collective Minds. That's why it's a beautiful show. I love coming on every week and chopping it up with the family. So I just wanted to put that collectiveness out there and, you know,
and you know what, Brother Care? And it also kind of gave me another way of saying it, too, to collaborate. What you're saying is kind of like looking at it as our physical body. You know, it's one physical body that we look at, but it can be broken down to individual cells that we have that also have their own intelligence. So it's like we are part of one body, and we should be actually be conscious when we're moving toward the good for everybody, you know. So that's the unity. We, like, our cells in our body should be working to enhance the body all together for the oneness. So
that's right.
Throw it out
that's
there.
Right. Yes, indeed, Ashe. That's a check.
I won't disagree with that.
All right, we all in agreement on that. So, yeah, y'all, this is our monthly end-of-the-month open discussion. So hit us up. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And as I look at the date, you know, it's November 24th. I guess we are officially into what they call the holiday season. Because, you know, next week we got Thanksgiving, then we got the Black Friday.
So it is what it is.
Yeah, so-called, right. And then we got Christmas and going into New Year's. So, family, we at the end of 2019. So I just want to get y'all thoughts on the year and what y'all think, like, is coming up in 2020. Like, it's just amazing that we are at 2020. You know, thinking back growing up, you know what I mean, watching the Jetsons in the 80s, 90s, I'm kind of dating myself, but 80s, 90s, watching TV, 2020 seemed so far away. Like, we couldn't even, but we were just thinking about 2000 back then. But now to reach 2020, we 2 decades in. Like, you know, what are y'all thoughts as far as we about to be heading? We actually here. We about to be heading into 2020.
Yeah.
What are y'all thoughts on that?
We are heading into 2020, and like you said, it's just amazing to look back and then to see, you know, how far we have come, you know, and also I like to challenge everybody for the 2020 coming up. Most people always have those resolutions and things like that, and most times that I've heard that it's always them saying, okay, what I'm going to do and get and all that. So how about we change the narrative and say, what am I going to give? You know, be more of a giver, you know. And then the other stuff that you want is going to just naturally come anyway. But I think we should try to be more giving and loving and supportive to people. It's just so much, you know, people just be so mean out here that, you know, try to just, if you don't have, you know, money, because a lot of times when we think of giving, we think of, you know, money and stuff like that. But you can give your niceness. You can give your pleasantness to be, you know, out here. And there's so many folks that just be so mean, poor customer service. So now in 2020, instead of trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to get, what am I going to give? how can I be a better person to give?
Check.
So that's what I'm thinking about 2020.
2020 right. For me, I'm steadily thinking about how I can improve the quality of my family, wife
that's
and
right.
children, how I can improve the quality of my community, and how
check.
I can improve
facts.
The community of my nation. That's what's on my mind going forth into 2020 is improving family, community, and my nation, and striving to work harder to be a disciplined soldier / student for the Most Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Check. Yes, indeed. Man, that's beautiful. So, I'm lined up right with you to, improve self, improve my family, improve the community, the collective, and black society, black empowerment as a whole, not to, down anybody else, but, it's time for black people to get on code and really empower ourselves and do the things, that we need to do, that we know we should do, that the elders laid out for us. And I really see 2020 as a turning point, because I think the matrix, so to speak, is kind of breaking down, and there's a lot of opportunity and a lot of things that we can do to get this ball rolling, to empower ourselves to stand up and really start to, really start to be the universal man and woman that the creator put us down here to be. So, I see heading into 2020, I really see that's going to start to manifest, not saying it won't be
that's
no
right.
challenges because I, but we definitely go, we on the right path,
Hey, I know this is on your mind, but look, I just got to go ahead and mash the gas on this, press the accelerator, and say, let's address this elephant in the room right quick.
Let's get it.
Talk about how
it's an elephant in the room.
Deontay Wilder, who is the epic knocked the soul out of two Ortiz last night. Knocked the soul. I ain't never seen. I slow motion and watched the hit, which I sent to my brother and sister on the line.
Yes, indeed.
In the freeze frame, I saw the man's soul. That's the top of his head. That's why he collapsed like he did. The man collapsed up. He was dead. He was dead for 0.5 seconds.
Man,
that boy's soul
went
out his body and said, ooh, and then jumped back in it. Like, ooh,
right,
I
let's give it some
yet,
context.
What was that?
Right, for those that don't know, Deontay Wilder had his 10th title, I think 10th or 11th title, no, 11th title defense against Luis Ortiz. This was a second-time fight.
Luis Ortiz.
He had his belt on the line, and woo, like the brother say, Deontay took that man's soul in the 7th round. It was a one-hitter quitter. Now, when you heard of a one-hitter quitter, this was a one-hitter quitter. The man could not even get up. He laid there for, he just sat down and like, I don't want no more. You did what I'm saying. So, that fight was amazing.
He didn't know where he was for a while.
I didn't want no more. Deontay took his left hand and was like pawing at him like, move your hand, move, because I'm finna hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Move that.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally he sets up right, like, all right, move that. Bam! And just gave it right. Straight down the pipe and hit that man in his
straight
eye. So hard, in his cheek so hard, everything in his face went backwards. The man's jawbone went back. He didn't get hit in his jaw, but his jawbone went back.
He the baddest man on the planet, and he really could have took that man out in any round. It was like he just you know, he wanted to get a fan something to watch. So he just, like you say, he just put that right jab out there for six rounds, you know, played with him. Just, you know, I'm going to catch you. And then in the seventh round, he just unloaded. You know what I'm saying? So he is the baddest man on the planet. He is our champion. You know what I'm saying? He is a foundational black American with deep roots in Alabama. You dig what I'm saying? To this day. So that just show how powerful our lineage is. You know, I'm claiming Deontay because he is, you know, he generations deep in American. So that just show how, you know, how strong black Americans are. You know, not to disclude anybody else, but, you know.
It's like he's straight off the slave ship. Like, you know how they brought the best, how they brought some of the best warriors over here?
Exactly. He's from that cloth.
He was pure. He was pure, uncut.
Yeah, not to mention
that punch came from.
Yeah.
That punch came from like the 1800s. He threw that punch back in 1800.
Yeah, he brought that back. That was like 1865.
Just, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed it.
The boy's cold. So now he either go fight Tyson Fury next, which they say that's more than likely going to be the next fight, Tyson Fury. And then they go wait on the winner of the Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua rematch, which takes place in December. That's actually next month. So, yeah, it'll be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the heavyweight division come back. They getting their swag back. It's a lot of top contenders. So, you know, we ain't seen this in a long time where the heavyweight division was on fire like this. So, you know, hopefully Deontay can unify all the belts. One man, one champ, baby. Bomb squad. I didn't do that no justice, but, you know. Bomb squad. You dig? So, yeah. So, in other news,
I
know
what's
going to
happen,
week,
though.
Y'all? Right. Now, this just hot off the press, too. What y'all think about now? R. Kelly ex-girlfriend,
the one
that was defending him, Jocelyn Savage, she done did a 180, and she came out and changed her whole tune. She like, he was beating me. Yeah, she like, this the one, remember, this the one of the ones that was on the interview.
Exactly,
with,
this is the one that who I said
that was defending
was,
her.
That's, I know,
that
but
was
you
defending
remember
him,
what I said. Well, Mufasa probably going to remember because he was telling me, and you did too, Brother Kevin. No, I don't think so. But I said from that interview, I would not be surprised if those girls were scared because remember I had broke down the message in the interview that she was talking about, and she said that her father wanted her to send pictures, and he found out that she did. You all remember me saying all that? I ain't surprised
that girl
she changed
scared.
Up a sort of
This is why she changed it, sister. She changed it because the man out of money. That's why she her lavish lifestyle she see coming to an end. So now because she want to tell her story.
Whether it's that or fear.
She want to tell her story, but guess what she want to tell it on? On Patreon.
Right.
She want to tell her story
on
Patreon. It's all about the money. She turned on the brother because she sees him. The finances has dwindled. She don't see no end to this. So she like, shoot, it's survival of the fittest. I got to get paid. So she done folded. She cracked under the pressure. That's all it was. She just didn't crack. She bought that bag.
You know it was about the money in the first place because her and her father and her mother, like I said before, they was all in it together. And they asked her in the beginning. She told them sending that picture. And when she decided to do it, I guarantee you he found out. But she still sent it to her father because he claimed he had it and he claimed he was going to expose it. How you get it? She sent it to you. They was all in agreement in the beginning. You already know she was about money. You know, you knew that.
Wait a minute.
She got caught up. I think
to make sure I'm clear,
it backfired.
But I thought that was the other woman who that was the other woman that had the picture. The dark
No.
Woman. That was the
that's Jocelyn Savage. She was
okay,
the light
skinner. So
it's the
other
but
that
one.
Is
oh,
that's the one.
That's the one who you talking about the picture
but,
though? Because remember the lawyer was
right,
outside
yeah.
talking about
right.
y'all acting like some savages.
Yeah.
So that is,
right.
that is her.
Okay, but that's the one who changed that story. Or the
yeah,
other?
Yeah, yeah, it was Jocelyn Savage. But I thought it was the, and I could be wrong on that. I thought it was the dark skinned one who had the picture that was, you know, supposed to got sent back.
There was the dark skinned one that had the picture because she was the one doing all the talking.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, okay,
and
so
that's
she,
her,
okay,
her
well,
parents.
Yeah, this is the light
yeah,
skinned
one,
right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
yeah
Jocelyn
was the one.
Okay,
that,
she was the one. Okay, well, still the same thing. Okay, now it's a different person, but. They both, like I said in the beginning, they both seemed like, okay, well, something going on anyway. She was quiet. She wasn't saying nothing. She was just letting the Miss Savage say all the stuff so that way she couldn't be held accountable for no wrongdoing in that interview. So she kept quiet.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's,
yeah,
that's
she
my
was calling.
Take on it. You see the end
yeah.
of the news? So she's trying to get paid. So that's why she, I mean, you're going to do it on Patreon and all this dramatic. Man, that's
right.
so fake and phony. That man ain't did nothing to them, but they're just trying to get some money. Now she see his empire and crumbled, so now she's throwing out the things online, trying to save herself and get whatever little change she can about to do. It's just pathetic.
Yeah, pathetic. Buddy. She didn't flip the script. I thought she was a rider. Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. She rolled as long as she could go till that money got tight. See, that's it.
Right,
it's loyalty.
Right.
Loyalty.
The money been tight.
Loyalty is,
money
been is
tight.
Hard to come across. You know,
yeah, you
loyalty,
can't buy
you
it. That's what for sure.
You can't buy loyalty, boy. It's hard to come across.
You cannot buy it.
Oh, no, you definitely can't buy it. I mean, maybe temporary.
Right, temporary, right. But as soon as the wind blow, they out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Out of here.
Yep. So,
oh,
yeah,
wow.
Anybody
else
got
about that
on the table? Yeah, she switched it up. She said, oh, Kelly got her pregnant, forced her to get an abortion.
Indeed.
She said one day she called him babe instead of daddy or master, and he ended up choking her till she blacked out. Like she's just going in like.
Yeah, it's mighty funny how all this now. Oh,
but
now
I believe
you remember these things.
I had trouble believing them when they was on there with Miss King.
Right. With
I didn't believe them then. I believe them now.
On them, man. On
but
them,
that doesn't mean that I disagree with you, Mufasa, about the fact that it's still money driven. Though I believe that as well, you know. But I believe her story now, what she's saying.
I don't.
I know
and
you
she's
don't.
She's faking phony, and she's a fraud. And she's a money-hungry little tramp.
Oh, my.
Oh,
my.
Did that come out of my mouth? Forgive me.
Shots fired, definitely.
What you guys think about this this impeachment? Because to me, it's a big movie. They just basically released the movie, and they
right.
have cast members watching it. We're just basically watching the show, and that's the only reason that they're doing it is just production. It has no relevance. I don't think nothing's going to come out of it too much, and
yeah,
it's just foolishness.
Yeah,
I think it's still going to be win the election. There's not
right.
not going to be an impeachment.
Right. Now, the challenge, yeah, the challenge, they're not going to get the Senate to, because the Senate is controlled by the Republicans, so they're not going to get the Senate to go through with the impeachment vote. So that's the only problem. Now, I will say this week, I was kind of 99% with you on that statement, Tanya, but this week it was a lot of testimony, and I mean, a lot of people was folding, and it just wasn't looking bad. I mean, it wasn't looking good for Donald and his cabinet. Like, they was kind of throwing him under the bus, but I'm still like, hold up, because if you get Donald Trump out of office, who's next in line to take his place? Mike Pence? Like, do we really want Pence in there? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's, I don't really see nothing happening. If it do, I'm going to keep it real. I'm not going to be happy with Pence in there, you know, but I don't see nothing happening either. I think he's going to get reelected. And, we'll just be talking about this next year and a year after that until Donald is out of office. But I don't think he's going nowhere just yet.
He might never get out of office. That's just how much they love
him. Right. You know how we do it. Probably, I guess, sometime next year when we do our Trump show, like we do with the president, we'll get into Trump and what he's done. But I still don't have no issue with the man. You know, I sent y'all that picture, that hat. I was at this gun show. This weekend. And there was a whole bunch of Trump supporters in there on deck. You know, they had these hats that, you know, I thought they were some nice hats. They didn't say make America great again. They said keep America great. You know, so I sent that out there with Brother Kev. I didn't hear you say you wanted one.
Nah, I was good on the hat. I was good
on
the
hat.
How many
did you get?
Keep America? Well, nobody sent me their money, so I was trying to.
I'm talking
about
for yourself.
Service.
I'm talking about for yourself. I'm saying for yourself.
No, I'm not American, so there's no need for me to get one. But that's another story. That's another story. So I was trying to get all the Americans that I know one. That's what I was trying to do. So I was putting it out there for everybody who's American. Hey, I'm here. The hats are here. If you want me to swoop you up one, I got you covered. But nobody wanted to get one. And I thought it's by saying keep America great that all the Americans would, you know, that I know would like it. But nobody wanted it.
Right. Yeah, that's why
America
I think
great.
America needs some improvement. So I don't know if I necessarily want to keep it exactly like this. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
so
if y'all could make a hat, what would y'all hat say?
I wouldn't make no hat.
The hat is a statement showing what you want this country, what you want for this country. Let me put it like this. What would your statement say as far as what you want this country to grow into? So what would your hat say?
Mine would say black economic empowerment. Make black economic empowerment great.
Okay.
That's what mine would say. You feel me?
Make black economic empowerment great. Mine would say separation. Make America separate.
Mine would say, meditate and unite.
Dang, that's three different things, huh?
That show you overall where we at as far as this territory here. As human. You know, we all got our own little mindset on things. That goes right into
right.
The dang on unity. We can't unify because we got our own mindset. It is what it is.
On that note, family, if you're just joining us, we're doing our monthly open discussion topic at the end of the month. So, you know, we just chopping it up. We're keeping it light so far. We just going through things that been happening this past week, as far as what's been going on in the news and politics and all that. So give us a call, 929-477-1697, and let us know what's happening out there. Anything else y'all want to touch on? I got, you know,
I want something. Did you guys hear about that that chip that I think we kind of touched base on this before? The chip that they're inserting in humans that will allow them. Actually, it's right. That's what I was gonna say. Actually, there's so many of them. But this one guy, I was watching this this show, this documentary of this guy. He have inserted so many different chips in his body. He said he don't even need to have keys. His chips activate his car, starts the car up, his home, his alarm, everything.
What?
He didn't replace. Yes, he didn't replace keys with this thing.
Wow. Dang. That's crazy. Now, I ain't heard about that, but. You know, they used to always talk about, the chip is coming. They're going to give us chips. But, you know, our phones are chips. We already wired. We are in the matrix. If you got a phone, if you got social media, you know, you got a computer, you are in the matrix. You are being monitored. Your data is being collected. They know what websites you're searching. All that. You know what I'm saying? So we pretty much already got the chip. It's just not implanted in us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's
like these other ones are like, I think one of them is called NorthSense. Then they have Smart Tattoo, Neuralink, and all these are new technologies that is trying to, they say, enhance humans. And like I said, they trying to work with the government to create like a smart tattoo for the troops and stuff, and it's going to change their skin where they can be more durable.
Wow.
Yeah, this is crazy, and it's crazy to actually see that they're actually they're out here in people. People are actually using these things. Today, right now, that they actually have people that are going to get smart tattoos, where it kind of some of them will kind of track their body sensations. It'll kind of maintain their temperature, their body. It'll glow if they're outside. If they're getting too hot, it will kind of their skin will kind of glow. Well, yeah, this guy, he don't have any keys. He had these inserts and, different inserts, in his knuckles, and he was demonstrating how they just, he don't need to go in the house or anything.
Yeah, that's crazy, right. Because I believe what they're trying to do is merge the body with technology, right? So it's going to be some way you can, like you say, you can have your phone attached to your hand. It could be inside your skin. Like, they're really trying to go that far. You know what I'm saying? Where they just merge the metals and technology into the body and into the brain. I don't know if y'all watch Black Mirror, but Black Mirror, which is a show, a series on Netflix, they kind of touch on a lot of that stuff. As far as technology and what it can do and how it's going to be in the future and the things that they got lined up. So, yeah, that's crazy. I really, don't want no parts of that. You dig what I'm saying? I'm cool on all that. Now, speaking of technology, I sent y'all a link. You know they got the, this is a military device. They got the invisible cloaks. I don't know if y'all got a chance to click on it. Probably not, but there's a cloak that the military has developed that makes you completely invisible. It makes any object stands behind it invisible. It's the craziest thing, which they said they've been working on it for a while, but just to see it in a video and in real time, it's wild. Like, literally, somebody could be standing, up against the wall or something, and it would make them look invisible with this cloak in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wild. I'm gonna have to go back and send it to you, Mufasa. But yeah,
yeah,
that's the type of technology
they
got. Yeah, it's deep. So yeah, man, this Collective Minds Radio. We in the building. We gonna get to the call lines here in a second. One last thing I want to touch on before we hit the call lines. This Jeff Epstein thing saga continues. First, they charged the two guards who was watching him, or supposedly watching him. They charged them with falsifying records. They say at the night he was killed, they was online shopping and doing some other things, basically not watching him, which that sounds real convenient. Yeah, that sounds real convenient. It's like, who put
them
up to it?
They were shopping with their buyout money.
There, exactly. There's a lot more going on to this story. Right, and I still think that it's a possibility that he's not even dead. And they just saying that, okay, while they wasn't watching, he committed suicide, because that's kind of the narrative they're going with. They're like, okay, these guards weren't watching him, so it gave him an opportunity to commit suicide. But they forgot to mention that the coroner from a couple of weeks ago already came out and said that this was not a suicide. It looks like it was a murder. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a lot going on with this, but I thought it was interesting that they charged these two low-level guards with falsifying records when we know if he is dead, somebody put out a hit. You know what I'm saying? We need to be figuring out who that somebody is, you know what I mean, and get to the bottom of that. So that's what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. What's up?
I was going to say, they were the first line of defense. So it starts with them, but it don't have to end with them. And I'm talking
about
it ain't
got
to start with them
position.
Either, though.
They was the first line of defense.
All they got to do is track that money down. They're going to see who started it.
Exactly. Follow the money. Every rep, follow the money. You know. And this cat, now, in the same story, I don't know if y'all know, but the Prince Andrew guy who was, you know, supposedly friends with Epstein and you know, say he slept with some underage girls and all this and that, he's been in the news lately. He did an interview last week that basically was a car crash that he shouldn't have done. And he's been trying to, he's been trying to save face, but he's implicated with Jeff Epstein. And I just researching this story, do you know this guy? He's part of the royal family, quote unquote. And his salary is $325,000 per year. Like, for what? Like, I don't know what these people do. I don't know if, like, the royal family is, I don't know. I know they got a lot of blood on their hands, but I'm trying to figure out how these people got in this position and why are they making all this money. Like, what do they do? You dig what I'm saying? So, but he's implicated. He's trying to fade out the public and basically go hide away. But I just thought that was interesting that this man makes $325 a year. He's on salary for that. But he doesn't have a specific title. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. Just found that interesting that they making all this bread, and we know the blood, you know, behind what they've done over the years. So just wanted to put that out there. But yeah, y'all got any comments on the Epstein thing, or y'all want to? We can hit the call lines and see what's popping.
Yeah, let's see what the call is talking about.
All right.
Okay. Area code 314-616. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Real quick.
Peace, Colin.
Well,
peace.
First, my head is going to say black supremacy. Y'all already know that.
yes,
yeah, look, I want to know what time it is off the rip. And I had two quick comments, one for Kevin, one for Mufasa. Mufasa, I know JT got you eating chicken sandwiches and watching football. So I wanted to ask you about I read something where now they're saying that this football player used a racial slur towards the Cleveland guy that hit him with the helmet. And I mean, like, we already kind of saw that there was some agitation where he tried to grab this guy's helmet. But the NFL, being the white supremacist organization they are, have stood their ground. Mm-hmm. So this person's going to be suspended indefinitely. And so I kind of want to get your take on that, on the NFL's decision to suspend this person indefinitely. And we know this is not the first time that a player has done this openly, because we saw, you know, the guy that was in Philly, Riley Cooper, on two occasions, he's dropping N-bombs on camera, and the NFL did nothing about it. And then my question to you, Kevin, I want to kind of go with what we had talked about the other day with Dr. Umar's response to the whole division with the Foundation of Blacks versus the ADOs. I'm really trying to put that together and get an understanding of what's the importance of these groups. Are they really separating themselves from other people that look like them? And how are we going to collectively come together to unite under one banner? Because I don't have a problem with forming a group that I may not agree with Mufasa about how he does his Nation of Islam thing. You got this thing going on. Elijah got this thing going on. But we all have a common enemy that we see, and we agree on that. So, you know, that was my question for you. So go ahead, guys. I want to get some feedback
Yes, indeed.
On those two comments.
Go ahead,
yes. Hey, good questions, my brother. But on the first one, I have to say, as far as the guy getting suspended indefinitely, that's a big fall. I would say suspending him for the rest of the season would have been justified, because when you hit him over the head with that helmet, I mean, you really could have killed the man. If the helmet would have hit, if it would have hit him the right way, it could have killed him. So, as far as the racial, and it's another thing too, as far as the racial slur go, I have to be honest. I'm still kind of up in the air about that. If it happened, if it didn't, and this is the reason why I say.
They came out his mouth though. The quarterback.
The quarterback said he said it.
He didn't say what he said, but he did make mention that he, you know, had made some comments that were not too kind toward him in a racial way. So.
Okay. So if I was, I'm gonna put myself in Myles Garrett's position. If he would have said the racial slur on me, on that field, I would have made comments on it. As soon as it happened, as soon as they'd have been interviewing me after the game, I would have put it out there from the jump. He called me a this, and that's why I tried to bust him upside his head. Look, I ain't saying that I was justified. I mean, you know, I did go a little far. I could have killed the man, but here's why I did it. I wouldn't have
waited. But remember, he kicked him. He also
kicked
him in the groin. He also kicked him in the groin, and he tried to grab his helmet first. And it's like,
maybe he took it
to the extreme. So it's just like a white person does something like they always do to agitate you. And what they did was a 2. What you did was a 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, everybody don't play with you like that. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I say something about your mama, you might brush it off. I say something about somebody else's mama, they might try to take my head off.
Well, see, that's why I say I'm just wondering if that was really the case. You know, and I hate to say that I don't all the way believe my brother, but I am curious of why you wait. Why you just didn't put that out there? Because, like I said, if it was me, I would have said what he said from the jump. But I'm just kind of side looking at him like, why you wait until you get suspended, you know, 5, 6, 7 days later, then say, well, he called me this. Just put it out there. He called me this. I clicked, because that's what I would have done. I would say that's what it was. He called me this, so, you know, I flipped. Now y'all can suspend me indefinitely, suspend for whatever you're going to do, but this is why I did it. I'm just looking at him a little side-eyes like, you know, like, why you wait a whole week to tell me he called you this? Because I saw what he did on the film. He grabbed his helmet first. Quarterback was in the wrong. He kicked him in the groin. He was in the wrong. So I saw that stuff. So and, as far as and I mean, using like, that racial slur, I can't. I don't know. I'm kind of looking at that like I don't know. I can't say if that went down or not, because if it was me, they didn't know. Everybody would have known he called me that from the second I got a microphone in front of my face.
What you also got to understand is these people have PR campaigns that restrict them from saying certain things. Like, you can't get on social media and say something like that. Like, we're going to keep this, you know, like, white supremacy, they're very, you know, covert. And they may have to advise them, hey, brother, don't say anything. We're going to handle this.
Hell no. There ain't nobody advising me. Hell no. You ain't going to advise me. I mean, I damn near killed this man. So I'm finna let it be known. The reason why I almost killed him is because he said this and that and the third. Because, I mean, you came out and said it 5, 6, 7 days later. So, true. I said it right then and there. That's why I'm like, man, I don't know. But I don't think he should have been suspended indefinitely. I think that was a bit much. And definitely the quarterback should have been suspended in his part and what he did as well. He should have been suspended because he initiated it.
It's not a crime to be white.
And then real quick, Carmen's a mug. You know he got benched today, right?
Did he?
Yeah, he got benched today.
But see, he still gets paid, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We got a little bit of retribution, just small, little, tiny, tiny bit. He lost his job.
Yes, indeed. All right, if you just joined us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have an open discussion.
I hope you get to
answer
Brother
Quentin. No, I am. I'm answering.
Okay.
That's what I was just about to say. We got a caller that has just asked a question. So I'm going to answer the question, and we probably engage a little bit, and then we're going to hit the call lines. Just wanted to let the other callers know that we're going to get to y'all in 1 second. Now, as far as the ADOS discussion, there was a video circulating, I believe, with Dr. Umar, and he was talking about ADOS and kind of the same conversations that we had been having about, you know, he was saying that it was divisive and, you know, white supremacy is global, you know, and black Americans should not separate themselves from the diaspora. And like I say, I was telling the caller that I would have to disagree on some of those points because, first off, ADOS, which stands for American Descendants of Slaves, is not a group, right? Because the way I look at it from the beginning, I looked at it like a lineage. It's a lineage, or you could say, you know, foundational black Americans. You could say Native black Americans, like Dr. Claude Anderson used to use, which it's a lineage. Again, it's not a group that you can just join. You can't just raise your hand and be like, oh, I'm part of ADOS. There's no membership. There's no monthly fee that you can pay to be a part of ADOS. Either your family is black and have 3 to 4 or 3+ generations deep in this country, you are not ADOS or foundational black American. So that means if you have 3, 4, or 5 generations deep in this country, you have a particular culture in this country, you have a particular claim on this land, you have particular, you're connected to the lineage that built this country. So I look at it again as black people in America self-identifying ourselves, because, and this is what every other group does, every other group looks out for themselves first. Like, people want to talk about Pan-Africanism this, Pan-Africanism that, but Nigerians come over here and they stick with Nigerians. I've seen them. They can be cool with us, and those are our brothers and sisters if they on code, but a lot of them come into this country. Now, it may be some riders on the continent, but a lot of them that come over to this country are vetted, right? They're vetted, and they align themselves with the white power structure, and they stick to their own group. They stick to their Nigerian group, whether it's Yoruba, Igbo, whatever. They stick to their group. No problem. Same thing with East Africans. They come over here, they usually stick with the Ethiopians, they usually stick with the Eritreans. They have their own little community where they do their own thing. Now, all of a sudden, when Black Americans say, look, we want to distinguish ourselves as a distinct ethnic group because we have a different culture than our brothers and sisters in Africa and the Caribbean, we are a distinct group. But then when we want to do that and call ourselves or give ourselves our own identifying name, that becomes a problem. Every other group does that. So the Pan-Africanism, it sounds good. That is still a goal, but I would say that's a goal that may be put on a back burner because it's not something that's realized. A lot of these countries have been colonized. A lot of these countries, Black people are the majority when you talk about Africa and when you talk about the Caribbean, yet they are still being ruled by white supremacy. We over here are the minority, and we're the main ones who fight back constantly against white supremacy. We're in, quote-unquote, the master's house, and we're up close to them, so we fight back. You dig what I'm saying? So I just look at it as a distinction to put a claim on our identity. It's not to disregard anybody else from the diaspora because, yes, we are fighting the same fight. But y'all tell me how many Africans y'all done clicked up with. How many Africans y'all know that's down for, you know, down for the cause, down for ending white supremacy? You see what I'm saying? I know they come over here and they stick together. And if you ask them, what are you, brother? They go say, I'm Nigerian. I'm Ghanaian. I'm Senegalese. I'm from the Bahamas. I'm Jamaican. Nobody identifies themselves with they make a distinction that they're not Black Americans. So with this ADOS movement or Foundational Black American Movement, people are saying, okay, we are different. We have the same fight, but we're just distinguishing ourselves just like every other group does. So that's how I see that. You know what I'm saying? Every other group does that. And it is not a problem. We still can fight the same fight, but like I've always said, Black Americans are going to be the ones that lead the diaspora. So in order for us to lead the diaspora on the fight against white supremacy, we have to first take care of ourselves. We got to first put the mask on ourselves, and then we can bring everybody else along and be like, look, this is how you fight this beast. You dig what I'm saying? So that's how I look at it, man. That would be my counter. And if the call is still on, you can respond. And then, you know, we can get to the call line. Or you can respond too, Brother Mufasa, you know.
I was going to say real fast. I was going to say this real fast. I'm going to pass it back to you, caller. Is that because y'all kind of made me think about something that I would love to talk about with y'all at a later time. Is why do they even come here? Why do they even leave their country to even come here? So that's something I want to have a conversation, Kyle, about in the future. But you can
right,
go ahead and respond
to what it says. That's a good question. But go ahead, Carla. Go ahead and respond.
Okay. My question to you is, do you think that this is through social engineering that they have separated themselves? Because understand that these people are here on a visa. And, you know, I've talked to other cultures that they're wearing black, and they were like, hey, you know, we were told before, like I used to work at Home Depot many moons ago, and I was cool with a Bosnian girl, and she told me straight up, like, they had to watch the movies on us. And were told to not associate themselves with us. So do you think that there's a socialization thing that's been engineered to
yes.
get over here? You hook up with Mufasa and Kevin, it's a wrap, you know.
Now, right, yes.
You can
yes.
stay within your own dynamics. So is that even their fault, I guess, is what I'm asking. I mean, it's the same with us because we say negative things about them too.
Well, not I don't know about that because, I mean, for me, I know that we went to school with some African kids in high school or grade school or whatever, and it was never no, you know, never no big deal. You know, kids talk about kids anyway because that's the culture we have where
right.
we joan and rank on each other. But it was never where they was, like, discluded. They was always a part of being with us. But, yeah, to answer your first question.
Real quick to jump in and answer Mufasa's question, because that may be a discussion down the line, but the reason why they come over here, you have to understand, if you have kids in Haiti and Africa that can build stuff out of trash, that can work to the advantage of white supremacy. So they don't mind sending them over here on a visa to work for WashU and these medical institutions, because it's advancing that, you know, building up the world of white supremacy. They're not coming over here to fight against white supremacy, so that's the reason why they allow
right. them. Yeah, and that's part of the issue. But that's a good question you raise, Brother Mufasa.
We got to go in depth on that.
Yeah, we have to go into depth on that, because my thing is, you can stay and build your country, but that's one of the other issues, is they come over here and get the benefits that our ancestors laid down. You know, they ride those coattails, but the black Americans don't get those same things that we fought for.
Over there.
You know, the foundation of black America. Right, we don't get them same things
that
we fought for over
there.
All over here. Right, all over here rarely. Because you look at a lot of these scholarships and these little programs that were for us, a lot of people from these other countries come over here and get those benefits. So, but yeah, it is a part of social engineering, because they do... I've heard they show the movies, and it's just an anti-black thing. That's the whole thing when it comes to white supremacy. Anybody who shows that they're anti-black, you get certain benefits. So that could even be a black person. That could be somebody from Africa, from the Caribbean. If you come over here and you talk down on black Americans and you display anti-black behavior, they're going to reward you. And so these people are, you know, people from the continent come over here and they talk down on us. They talk about us like dogs, you know, and they disassociate themselves with us and stay with their own little ethnic group. And they make a distinction. I'm not like them black American. I'm not like them Akatas. I'm not like them Negroes. I'm different. I'm from Nigeria. I'm from, you know what I'm saying? So... that's just what it is, and we just got to be real about that. Like, Pan-Africanism sounds good, but at this point it's very idealistic, because nobody's on that wave except black people in America for the most part. Now, you got some riders on the continent, but they don't let those riders come over here. You know what I'm saying? They don't let those ones that's on code and about that life, they don't let them come over here. You see what I'm saying? So... you know, that's just my take, and I disagree with Dr. Umar on a few points, you know, but that's neither here nor there. But I digress.
Right on.
You did.
Right on, O'Carly. You brought it. You brought the heat tonight, bro.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Carl. But, yeah, we're going to have to definitely have that conversation about, you know, why do they come over here. I mean, we kind of know why, the opportunities and things, but... you know, if you really had love for home, wouldn't you build up your home and make it more, you know? Because like I say, if you're the majority in these countries, you should be able to kick the white supremacists out. Like, I don't, like, that kind of blows my mind, even though I understand. But, like, in South Africa, the black people are like 80 to 90% of the population, yet the 10% of white people own most of the land. How is that? If you don't, if y'all don't get together and kick them up out of that country, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
don't
go in too hard right now, Brother Kez. We're gonna have to do a whole show about Africa, and I would like to do it soon. Maybe we can talk about doing it next week, or definitely some real soon.
Yeah, we'll do it soon. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So let's hit the call lines, family. This is Collective Minds Radio. We got an open discussion popping tonight. Let's hit the call line, Sister Rijah.
Area code 319-572. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening tonight.
Okay. Thank
yes,
you,
indeed,
caller.
We appreciate
right
you.
Okay.
Get them brain cells to twerking.
Area code 315.
Right, I like that.
767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Raymond College is listening. Area code 317-767. He's probably just listening. Thanks for tuning in, caller. Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Speak to us.
Roger, I don't think I can marry you. You too slick.
Oh.
You know,
what happened?
You know about filing suits and taking people to court and getting their money and all this
stuff. I do.
When you went out on a date, you had a mental calculator going on in your mind to see how much he had spent so far.
Oh.
That's how most women are.
We never knew, Roger.
Right, I never knew either, caller.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to bring some sanity to all this stuff.
Break it down.
Okay.
Break it down. I'm going to start, I made a little short list. I'm going to start with the N-word. Football players use the N-word on every play on the football field in the NFL. They don't have audio capturing that for the obvious reason. So if you got black players calling black players the N-words, you mean to tell me the white player can't call them too? They're one team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they go out there bleeding blood and sweat and sweat for one.
You're 100% right on that. I hear them. You hear them all.
Yeah,
the time.
It's a high level. The NFL players have a higher when they do drug testing, if they come in with marijuana, they allow a higher amount in their system before it triggers a response than any of the other players. Any other team, should I say, National Basketball Association and also Major League Baseball. So, no, what the guy did from what I see, he deserved to be suspended because he used that helmet as a weapon.
He tried the helmet, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On the front of the deck.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to say something to Donald Trump. You know, you made a funny statement there, Kevin. You said if Donald Trump is gone, I don't want to see Mike Pence. Well, impeachment
right.
don't make the president leave. And here's another
right.
thing. When the articles of impeachment is passed on to the Senate for the trial,
right.
the Senate can carry that trial out as long as they want. They can carry it out for 8 months. But guess what? During the trial, no senator can campaign for an election to become president.
Mm-hmm.
So Kamala Harris,
okay.
Booker and the
Corey
others,
Booker.
Yeah, they can't do no
yeah.
campaign. Warren, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad the way that the students at Clark Atlanta treated her. She comes down there. Did you see
that?
She talking. She's down there talking some slavery stuff. Talking about nobody knows how y'all feel. Then she goes back to speak on some. A group of black women back in 1884. My kids don't want to hear that. And here's another
yeah.
thing that was insulting. You got Ayanna Pressley coming from Massachusetts. She's the elected official in Massachusetts, and she's down in Atlanta ridiculing those students at Clark University, Clark Atlanta University. Why come she didn't keep her butt up in Massachusetts? And why come Elizabeth didn't get somebody who was representative of Congress from Atlanta to be with her?
Yeah.
Think about it.
Been doing a lot of pandering lately. She's been getting caught in a bunch of lies here. There's a video circulating where she said her son went to public school. But she was talking to this black mother, but he really went to private school. And she on video just blatantly lying.
Elizabeth
like, oh,
Warren
no.
lie. Just a liar.
The public school, yeah.
And that Buttigieg, how in the heck you going to come to get the black vote and you are homosexual, openly gay, married to another male? What kind of damn sense did that make?
Right.
Going to North Carolina with that. Going to South Carolina with that. Come down in the South where you got what is it, about 13.5 million black Southern Baptists?
Yeah.
Now, another point, you're talking about the Africans. Africans come here for just like anybody else do. And the first and second and third generations are smart as heck. Matter of fact, look for them to dominate the NFL. There's already articles out on that.
Yeah,
right now, in 2017, there's 56 players playing for NFL teams that's from Africa. And it's going to increase for a lot of reasons. They're going to show up in the colleges because they're so damn smart. I mean, damn smart, but they're so smart, academically strong. Africans have the highest educational attainment than any other ethnic group immigrant that comes to the United States, even more so than Asians, who is ahead of whites.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And also, not only in education, but in the income. They have a higher income than, of course, black American, but they have a higher income than, when you look disproportionately, than whites do and Asians. So, and I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, let me ask you another question. I got a scenario. Mustafa, I'm going to use you. You a felon. Okay. Now, you know you're not supposed to be around any guns. All right. So one day you going out to a shopping center, and for whatever reason you got a pistol on you. Okay, not being around a gun is one strike. When you get ready to go into the shopping center, on all the doors, in particular one you going in, they say no guns allowed. That's two strikes. You go into the mall, and apparently somebody noticed the gun by you accidentally revealing it or whatever, and security approach you, and they're approaching you to tell you that if you do have a gun, you have to go take it outside of the mall because the state law says that's what you're required to do on an initial contact. You know, they can't lock you up unless you refuse. The owner can tell you, look, you got to leave here. And if you don't leave, then you can get a citation for a misdemeanor, which is a fine. It's about $25 in Missouri, but I'm not sure. That's the third strike. Okay, when the security guard come and they ask you, you take off and run. That's a fourth strike. And, of course, when you run, they get the local police involved, and whatever goes on there that ends up you being killed, that's a fifth strike. Now, Mustafa, if you had on the first strike done what you knew you wasn't, not done what you knew you wasn't supposed to have been doing, there never would have been a second, third, fourth, and fifth strike. Or the second strike. Or the third strike. Now, I hate to see anybody get killed, but a lot of times people bring this stuff upon themselves. And you guys know who I'm talking about, the incident that happened out at the Galleria. Now, here's another point, Nadja. Wesley Bell, this is the second thing on him. Apparently there's a video that came out that some citizen took, and they held it for 90 days. I guess they were seeing what was going to happen, as far as I understand. So Wesley Bell haven't said anything about this, nor did Wesley Bell say much about when the black man stood over the white cop that was laying down on the floor and shot him in the back of the head. And you know there's going to be a public gathering on this video that's going to be held at St. John's Church there on Hamilton right off of Page. Zaki is calling for it. I don't know if you received any emails on it or not. But, you know, it's the cause and effect. When you do something, the cause is going to affect something down the line. It may affect someone who is they just there, and they look like the person that caused the whole thing. Now, we know that, you know, bad things happen. And here's another thing. When you get to that fifth step, even though you throw up your hands and surrender, that police officer, how do you know that son of a gun don't have something? You know, he don't have some animosity. He ain't trained right. He nervous as heck. You don't know that. So why get to the fifth step to find that out, and it turns out to be a bad thing?
Yeah, I could totally agree. That's why I stopped defending so many, you know, black people who were shot down. You know, every time after the Mike Brown situation, every time somebody got shot by a cop, everybody wanted to ride out and protest, and you know how it was. It's a shame, but we don't look and discern these things case by case before we just get emotional and react. So I see totally
right, now look,
that if you had it just done right from the jump, you wouldn't have put yourself in that situation. So I do agree with that.
And one
right,
more
so
quick
look,
thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
A lot of them protesters be paid protesters, too. Like we saw with the shooting at the Galleria, it was mostly white people out there. So a lot of these groups are paid protesters that are paid, you know, by liberals funding them to go out and protest and do that. So I just wanted
to
put that out.
Well, I agree with you on that. It's kind of funny when you have white folks out protesting something like that. But, you know, I mean, you had hippies that was doing that back during the Vietnam War. Also, now, this thing about the blacks coming together, you hit it on the nail. All blacks in America are not the same. Just like all Nigerians not the same. I talked to the Nigerian that worked out there at African Palace out on West Florissant and Seven Hills, and I asked her, is she getting married? She's a 28-year-old communication major. And she said, yeah, I'm married. I said, well, you going to marry an African-American? She said, nope. I said, you marrying an Igbo? She said, nope. You marrying a Hausa? Nope. She said, I'm marrying a Yoruba. That's what I am.
Right, and that's what they do. But there's no problem with that. People, you know, I don't see anything wrong with that if she wants to marry somebody Yoruba. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. And West Africans, West Africans don't hit it with East Africans, Ethiopia and Kenya
right,
and so
right,
on.
Yeah,
nor
Kenya,
do they hit
right,
it with South Africa. Look at the things that South Africans and Namibia, which is right next door, Zambia, which is right next door, look at the stuff they be going through. Xenophobia
exactly.
And fighting, carrying on. Another thing, if you have a discussion on the topic, include me in because I'm married to a beautiful Ghanaian woman.
Yes, indeed.
All right, now.
It's a lot of things I want to say, and I'm just biting my tongue right now until we have a discussion on it.
Okay, I'll talk
looking
to you later.
To that.
All right, we appreciate you calling. Peace, peace. All right. Let's hit the call line and see what's popping.
Okay, area code 314-568. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Caller, you're on listening or you have a question? Okay, probably just listening.
So, look, y'all know on our, you know, monthly wrap-up show, I go through the homicides because we had a little small wager whether we was going to be over 200 or under 200 for the year. So now we got a month and a half left of 2019, and I'm looking at the homicide rates for St. Louis City. This is on the St. Louis Police Department website. And as of November 24th, 2019, there have been 176 homicides in the city of St. Louis. 176. So as it stands right now, that's lower than 2018, which had 186. That's lower than 2017, which had 205. And also lower than 216 and 215. So
you didn't happen to do St. Louis County, did you?
No, I didn't do St. Louis County, which we know if we was to add St. Louis County, it would be more. But this is from the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. They actually keep a stat sheet on the number of homicides that we have
brother,
in the city.
If you get a chance, I'm just interested in knowing what the same numbers are for the county.
For the county, yeah. That would be interesting. Yeah. So right now we at 176, y'all, so we going to do this again. Are we going to be over 200 or under 200 for the city? Not including the county, we just talking about for the city. What do y'all think? We at 176. We got a month and a half left.
Roger, what you got?
Oh, I don't know, over, but it's sad that it's this close. Even if it don't go all the way to 200, it's sad that I'm sitting here like, ooh, because it's teetering. And then
right, it's right there.
It's right, that's what I'm saying. So either way, I still feel like we had a loss because it's still too close to 200.
Yeah, but
that's
then now look on the right, but on the other side though, it's still going down when you look at the crime stats from years in the past. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's still going down. Even though 176 is high, you know, one is high when anybody gets murdered by homicide. But in respect to the other years, we kind of going in the right direction.
I don't know, Brother Kev. I don't know. I got different reasons on why it's going down. I don't think it's doing so much greater. I think it's going down because of things like people have. It's going down because people then left the city. The city population ain't as big as it was. It's going down because,
okay.
I mean, that's, if you look at even our schools, the St. Louis schools, they got to shut down schools because they ain't even got enough kids in the schools. So the population in the city is dwindled down. So that's one of the big reasons why the murders. It ain't just because they didn't got so conscious. No, they just ain't on top of each other. Like go back to in the 90s when we was in high school. You know, how crowded the schools used to be, how many students it was. You go to these schools now, you don't see half as many of them kids. And I'm just saying that because you can take that into the population. You don't see nowhere near as many kids as it is in the city that it was when we was back in the 90s.
Right,
you know?
Right. I agree with that.
I don't even know
a
city school.
It's part of the population
they
got, going down.
It probably ain't even a city school that got over 1,000 students anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. The population is going down, so that does definitely have an effect
go down,
on the number.
Crime
go
down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but
yeah,
as far
I agree
as hitting
that
200 number, I'm gonna go ahead and say I don't think it's gonna hit it. I'm gonna say we're gonna stay under. I'm gonna say we're gonna get close, but I don't think we're gonna hit the 200.
Yeah, we're already close.
Yeah,
well, when I say close, I mean
somebody asked me for $176. That's $200. I'm be like, you didn't ask me for $200. We already close.
Yeah, we definitely close. But we ain't gonna go over. I don't think we're gonna go over. Watch next weekend. If 15 people get hit, then I'm gonna have to come on here and change my number.
Right. It better not be on a holiday weekend, which is a Thanksgiving weekend, and 15 people get murdered.
You supposed to just be in the house with your family eating.
You hear me? Yeah. That is a sad day. That,
shooting somebody.
Yeah.
Man, that is a sad day. So.
Yeah, you know how much
yeah,
you know how many arguments happen out there in some of these family get togethers? And they result into that people be drinking. You know, they arguing.
Yeah, and
they
go out for the club
family
too,
that
they
don't even want to be around.
Yeah, and after they
right, but
then later on that night they'll go out to the club.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing. See, that's what be killing me, because it's one thing to have an argument, to, you know, get into it, yell, scream, even fight. But to actually get your gun and be wanting to kill, yeah, that's a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying? That's a whole nother level, especially with a family member. You could be like, look, we can fight, we can yell, argue, scream. But at no point should you be thinking about getting a gun and shooting them. Like, that's just you just taking it to a whole nother level. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I
want to
touch on something.
A whole nother level. Go ahead, bro.
I know we're dwindling down. But I did want to touch on that article that Roger sent us to, Brother Kev, that you said where the lady, you know, had overdosed and the police department just kind of set back on. What? Did you see that story, Brother Kev?
Let that die.
No, I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to see it.
If you want to lay it out real quick, Roger, and then I'll say what I got to say.
Well, basically, it was a young lady who, this was about a year ago, but they just released the videos who, you know, there's a theory that, of course, they doctored up and edited out, which they probably are, but it clearly shows a young lady who was apparently, if I got the story correct, that she was getting locked up because they called to say she was overdosing, but why the police came to lock her up, I have no idea, but she was in the back of the police car. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But still, regardless of all that, why the initial call was for an overdose? Forget whether or not she have a warrant or not. So, And so while she was in the car, you know, she was saying she couldn't breathe. She was, you know, reaching out for help, but they ignored her, didn't care. They treated her like crap. Even when she got to the precinct, she was already appeared to be have passed away anyway. When they had her in the wheelchair, she was just slumped over, lifeless. And it was another person that came in that they was booking. They was tending more to the person that was booking. They got this lady sitting over here lifeless, slumped over a chair, and nobody's saying that this is an urgent thing. It was horrible.
Yes, it was.
It was horrible.
And Brother Kev, it was black and white officers around. So we're just going to say blue people. There's blue people sitting around here watching this woman strapped down in this, in handcuffed in this wheelchair, slumped out, and nobody's giving her medical attention. You know, and they kind of go in. I hate to say this, though.
Wow.
But if you kind of tie into what the caller said, is your first step. The first step that she did mistakenly was doing drugs. I have to put that out there. Yes, she shouldn't have been doing drugs. You know, it caused her to overdose.
Well, that's the case. She shouldn't have had no warrant. That's the first step, not having a warrant, because if they found out she had a warrant, is the reason that they locked up. If she ain't had no warrant from back then.
Yeah, but the reason they even got called that, because, you know, she was overdosing. But, you know, we ain't going to go around on that. It's just sad even still that they don't give you know, any regard to this person's life just because she quote unquote a dope fiend.
Right,
so they treated
right,
her
right.
Like trash. They treated her like trash. They drug her out the car. When they brought her in the cell, Brother Kev, she was handcuffed. They just basically had her arms behind her back, you know, by her arms. They dragged her on her feet. They threw her in the wheelchair. When they threw her in the wheelchair, her head went, you know, slammed back. It didn't hit nothing, but it just jerked back. They just treated her like
she was lifeless. Yeah, she was lifeless.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like she was lifeless. And these are blue lives. Just like I say, black and white officers who was I saw one or two black females that was around. You know
what
I'm saying?
That's crazy.
Black male, one brother stood over and he just looking at her like, you know, just kind of like, is she dead? But he didn't really care. He didn't check her pulse or nothing. Nobody said, look, we need to get this woman some help.
Right. That's crazy. So now, look, you made me think of this question, and this may be a possible future show topic. So I'm going to ask y'all this. Do y'all think it's a crime to be poor in this country? Now really think about that question. Is it a crime to be poor in this country?
I have to answer that another time.
Yeah, we won't answer
I just wanted to put that out there, but it made me think about that because, you know, we live in this society. If you ain't got no money, people treat you a certain type of way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You get treated a certain type of way. That go from, you know, regular people, that go to the court system, to dealing with legal matters, like all type of things. If you don't have money, you looked at a certain way. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And no money can lead to warrants, can lead to this, can lead to that. So, yeah, is it a crime
to
be poor in this country? Yeah.
Due to your demise.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah,
sit
there and watch. I made me mad to sit there and watch how they could mistreat a female like that. You know, any human,
right,
for that matter. But especially a female to just handle her like that so poorly. You know, it's ridiculous. And I don't think that nobody got charged in that needle, right, right? No, they was investigating it,
so.
But nobody got.
Yeah.
Because her life didn't matter because she was a dope friend.
Right, right. That was crazy. Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, family, we down to the last 5 minutes of the show. It's been a real one. You know, we got Thanksgiving coming up next week. I better not see y'all at no Black Friday shopping. I'm telling. If I see Mufasa Rigel, I'm telling. Getting them TVs, y'all gonna be knocking over folks trying to get right.
Hey,
get that flash screen, I'm telling.
I'm gonna use y'all words on y'all, cause when I always say y'all better not be celebrating Thanksgiving, this is what Rigel and Brother Kev say. Hey, we eat dinner every Sunday, so that's what
is.
Say. I shop every Friday. I'm gonna put that back
but
on y'all.
But you don't shop every. But that's not true though. My
yes,
statement is true.
Yes, I do.
You shop every Friday.
I shop every day. Every day.
Hilarious.
Every day I'm looking for a deal.
Hilarious.
Hey, I'm
yes,
looking,
indeed.
I'm gonna be looking for a deal when I get off this phone. I'm always looking for a deal. I'm shopping every day.
Okay, well, yeah, you need to go to Black Friday and know your deal right there.
I shop every day. So if I just happen to be in the store when they just call
I'm not gonna
that
say
day,
anything.
Black Friday, that's right. There you go. I'm
not
going
to say anything because as long as I'm not in the store, I'm fine. I never say anything about the other folks that's in there, so you can go with them, too. I don't mind. I just know
won't catch me.
I won't be there. Right. I won't be there.
That's what you won't do.
Fight the herd.
Now, you won't see me standing in line overnight with no tent. Now, I guarantee you that.
But you might be the first one in the morning. But you might be the first one in the morning. Is that what you said?
No, if I just happen to stroll in the store and find something cool. But it ain't nothing. Nothing has never came out that made me really want to. Maybe I'm just beyond that type of stuff that made me have to stand in long lines and fight. For something
right.
that ain't important to me, but I don't know if people just be excited about the thrill of saving $5, you know, because it ain't worth it. It just ain't worth it to me. All that hassle. They ain't got nothing else to do, I guess.
Man, people be waiting all year for this, bro. They be waiting all year.
Yeah. You got professional Black Friday shoppers.
Yeah, people are ready. They are ready. They have shifts and all kind of stuff. You'd be surprised. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us. We
yes,
definitely
appreciate
enjoy
you.
Your support. Continue to support us. We totally appreciate you. We're going to have to do something nice for you guys one day. We
yes, indeed.
Or yeah, and then the
listen,
year's almost up, so this is going to. Yeah, this is going to be our what year are we coming up on?
Number three.
All right. Hang in there. so check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know it, you name it. And if you have any show topic ideas, please feel free to email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Peace. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
Collective Minds Radio. Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to
to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper, who peepin' the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking.